In the Red, dramatized by Mark Taverner and Peter Bainham from the novel by Mark Taverner. Episode 5, starring Michael Williams and Barry Foster, with Stephen Fry and John Byrd as the radio controllers.
We'll go very shortly.
I don't normally get the BBC's crime correspondent, George. It's usually your political boys.
Oh, I think the bank manager murders are most people's idea of a crime story. Don't you, Robin?
Start in 3. And go.
Home Secretary, does the word shame feature in your vocabulary?
I've done nothing to be ashamed of.
What about the word resign?
Let me make one thing absolutely clear. I say this, and I say it quite bluntly. We, as a government, were elected to uphold law and order.
Home Secretary, what do you say to this? That the murdered bank managers are symbols, financial symbols, of the sleaze and corruption of this government?
I'll certainly answer that question. But first, I'd like to give you the latest crime figures produced by my department.
Figures that were, in fact, produced by your deputy, the Minister of State, Peter Anderson, who's just been killed by the bank manager murderer. I mean, you're a law and order government. And yet your own ministers are getting slaughtered.
I'd like to answer that question in 2 ways.
Answer this in 1 way. Tomorrow, there's a by-election in Talbotton. Your deputy's old seat. A safe, rock-solid Tory seat. You're going to lose it, aren't you?
I really can't speculate on that. I never comment on opinion polls. That is a hypothetical question.
Home Secretary, this is not a hypothetical question. Are you or are you not a pillock?
Quite bluntly, this is typical of them. Midterm difficulty. And we
the wholesale massacre of London bank managers is a midterm difficulty. That's not what the voters of Talbotting will tell you tomorrow. The killer is free, still at work, and nobody has a clue how to catch him. Have they, Minister?
But, Snoopy, it's essential that you get out and meet the voters.
Is it, Henry? Yeah.
In a by-election, voters can be swayed by the personal touch, especially from a party leader.
Oh, right. Who's that?
Morning, Henry.
Andrew, I do not want to hear another song.
Look, the thing is, right...
Look, please, look, I'm trying to get things ready for the by-election campaign.
So why don't I write you a campaign song? How about this?
Right.
We're gonna win some voting, we shall not be moved.
Andrew!
We're gonna win some voting, we shall not be moved.
Andrew! No, look, no, I do not want to hear it.
All right.
I thought it was rather inspiring, actually.
What?
Just the thing to rally the party.
Oh, cheers. You know what I like about you, CP?
What?
You're basically a walking satire on the bloated privilege of capitalist society.
I expect I probably am. Would you like a glass of Alox Corton?
Of course you wouldn't.
No, of course not. How silly of me. Well, how about some Pouli Pouti?
What? That is being satirical, Andrew. Now look, is there something we can do for you?
Yeah.
I'd like to join your party.
What?
Give me some of those leaflets, and I'll get straight down to the constituency.
Oh! Good God. Yes, good man!
So good of you to phone me, Jim. You always listen to Radio 2. You're a big fan of my network.
Good God.
Yes, of course, I'm proud of it. Thank you, Jim. Thank you so much. Goodbye, Jim.
Who was that?
Jim. Wilkes, head of BBC One. He said he listens to Radio 2.
Good God.
Which only goes to show the man is a cloth-eared, bone-headed idiot with a brain the size of a pimple on an amoeba's bottom. In fact, that the man is...
Controller of BBC One, Charles.
Well, he can, as he puts it, do lunch. He informs me that my people have telephoned his people and he can do lunch.
So, this is it, Charles?
Yes. Now, look, where's Fortescue?
He's outside. I'm afraid he's gone back to starving himself.
But he's vital to our plans, Martin. If we're to bring the Director-General to his knees, we've got to keep this fella alive.
Hercules, will you come in, please?
Good God.
I'm so hungry.
Noisy neighbour has joined the reform party, Letitia.
What? Auntie Agony?
No, not the spanking prostitute, the other noisy neighbour.
Andrew?
Yeah, I can't believe it, you know. I'd have thought the reform party would be far too soggy for the likes of him still. But he's got his reasons.
He's very committed to his principles, isn't he? Very very passionate.
Oh, that's putting it mildly.
Are you a passionate person, Henry?
I think I better get down to tell Botting.
Henry, stay where you are.
I'm sorry.
Listen to me. You are very clever.
Am I?
And cleverness is a very sexy quality.
Is it?
And it's about time you realised it.
Really?
Mm.
Oh, well, I'm not very good at that sort of thing.
Henry, when you want something, you've got to learn to ask for it. What's the problem? Are you frightened of assertive women?
Certainly not. I believe in sexual equality.
Oh, don't bring it back to politics. Tell me, why do you think you're so shy? Is it because women are taking a more dominant role?
I don't think so.
You see, it's a well-known fact. Some men find today's women very difficult to cope with. And one thing's for sure. I'm one of today's women, Henry.
Are you?
I know what I want, and I am not afraid to ask for it. But I have to know what you want, Henry. You don't know how much it hurts when a man sends out confusing signals.
Not without the marmalade.
What's going on out there?
Honestly, I don't know.
Have you got a problem?
What is it with bloody men? Why can't they just say what they want? Panthers aren't what they used to be.
Auntie, why don't you come in and talk to Letitia about it?
Henry!
Sorry, but the by-election beckons.
Henry!
I must get down to tell Botty.
But Henry!
Hello, BBC Radio Newsroom.
It's the bank manager murderer here.
You've got a nerve.
I'm just ringing to say, oops, missed. And I nearly killed you into the bargain.
I know, mate.
Oh, dear, dear, I am getting careless.
I had a feeling I might hear from you.
Well, I was hoping to get you.
Perhaps that's what you were doing, hoping to get me.
George, really. And lose my national spokesman. I want fame, George. And you're just the man to give it me. However, I'm not ready for the big one just yet.
What do you mean, the big one?
That will be telling. Now, let's just say I'm going back to my roots, first of all, with lots of little ones.
What does that mean? Hello? George Craig?
George, it's Frank. I've got a lead.
What?
Get round to Forty Berwick Street as soon as you can.
Sorry, Henry.
Martin, good. This is Jim Wilkes, controller of BBC One.
How do you do?
Now, hang about. I don't want to get confused. Martin, you are controller of Radio 4, yeah?
That's right.
Ha! The one that nobody listens to.
And I'm the one in charge of Radio 2.
Got it? Radio Gaga and Radio Gugu. Sorted. Now, let's eat, shall we? Oh, what's this muck?
The Amuse Bouche, eh?
They amused me about as much as my viewing figures. Let's order some proper food.
Well, I rather fancy the veal encased in pate de foie gras and ham-fried in dolphin blood. Mm-hmm.
Sean?
I thought I might try Reason and the Passions, a pecan casserole, sheep's brains and boar's testicles.
And I'll have packets with mushy peas.
Ah, traditional English, they trendy, Jim.
Maybe it is, but I'm not trendy and I'm not intellectual and I'm proud of it.
Indeed.
I know some people laugh at me.
Good heavens, no.
I hear the whispering in the corridors of Television Centre. He's a bums on seats man, not too much up top.
What shocking disloyalty.
But I am on top, aren't I?
Indeed.
And they're not. And do you know what I say to these Oxbridge intellectual types?
Something I imagine both decorous and devastating.
I say I'm controller of BBC One, so you can go pogo on your plonkers. I say you may have a first-class degree from Peterhouse, mate, but I've got a big car, a big house, and a nice chalet in Southend, so you can kiss my...
Now, Martin, do you think Chambertin might be a satisfactory accompaniment for faggots?
I run BBC One because I've got my finger on the pulse of public opinion. But do you know what I'm suffering from?
Numbness of the fingertips?
What?
Your audience has dipped.
Damn right it has. Our viewing figures are through the floor. What the hell is that?
It's a terrine, monsieur. Of aubergine, nectarine, and tangerine.
Well, take it away and bring me some tomato soup.
Monsieur?
The real reason we're struggling to get the viewers is because most of what we broadcast on one is rubbish.
Now, if I may say so, Jim, it's obvious that you do have your finger on the pulse. Why, your first words this afternoon, "What's this muck?" have posed the very question that's at the heart of the public service broadcasting debate. What, indeed, is this muck?
Let me put it another way. The BBC needs a big license fee increase to pay for some more Chambertin, all the services that we, that's you in television, and we in our own humble little way over in radio, offer the public.
What are you getting at?
We have a plan, Jim. A plan to secure the biggest license fee increase in the history of the corporation. And, Jim,
what?
That plan depends on it.
So, what's this about a lead, Frank? Why are we here?
It's not just a lead, George. I've got a suspect who lives at this address.
Not a prostitute, no.
After the murder at the House of Commons, Dominic Diaz described a scruffy young man in odd socks.
So?
And when I came here to see the prostitute, Auntie Agony, she described a young man in the basement fitting the very same description, Andrew James. Well, call it a coincidence if you like.
It's a coincidence, Frank.
What are you doing? What's it look like? Kicking the door down.
What if he's at home?
He isn't.
Have you got a search warrant?
Got George. He's an assistant commissioner asking me if I want to spend more time with my family.
We're in.
So where do we look?
Oh, that's the whole flat. This place is in such a mess, he's not going to know we've been here.
He will if he comes back.
What's this?
What have we got?
Talk about a motive to kill bank managers. It says here, "Dear Mr. James, any further use of your check card will constitute an offence. Dear Mr. James, we are no longer prepared to act as your bankers."
I've gone here from, what is it? Access? Another from Barclay Card. Half the population get letters like these.
Oh, come on, George.
You're under pressure to get results and you're jumping to conclusions.
Yeah, how about this? Look. Some people send you letters when your money is gone. Some people send you letters when you're overdrawn. Overdrawn and underfed. Some people send in letters going to wind up dead. Explain that, George.
What's in here?
Oh, bedroom, probably.
Bloody hell.
What?
Frank?
What? What is it?
Look what he's painted on the wall. In the red.
Oh, what's he used? Is that red paint or blood?
God knows.
This is our killer, George.
There could be a perfectly rational explanation.
Oh, yeah. It's the kind of thing anybody might write on the bedroom wall. Come on, admit it, George. We're dealing with a loony.
But that doesn't mean that he's a killer.
Jefferson Control, are you receiving? Over.
Jefferson here. Go on.
There's been another murder.
Where?
In the tall bottom, another bank manager.
I'll go straight there. Over.
My God, the phone call. The killer said he was going back to his room.
You never told me you had a phone call. Let's get to television, Frank. I'll tell you on the way.
So, this is Tal Botting. Any good restaurants, you think? Canvassing voters is perfectly simple. First of all, you knock on the door.
Yes.
But you make absolutely certain that you register the name of your candidate, the name of your party, and whether they're likely to vote for you.
Right.
Right, right. Marking them down on this card as definite, probable, possible, or no.
Why is it so complicated?
The first rule of canvassing. If they're not our supporters, move on.
Oh, very well.
See, Peter, this is politics in the raw. This is our job. Are you enjoying it?
Oh, I'm having the time of my life.
You're enjoying yourself, I think. But of course, it's politics. Nice, simple politics. Getting out here is an escape.
I wish I could escape here.
There are politicians who claim to enjoy elections. I am not one of them.
But you are enjoying it.
You know, I was quoting a dead politician, Alfred Duff Cooper.
Henry, I seldom say anything which you have not written for me, but needs must when the devil drives.
Yes, Seacrest.
Stuff Alfred Duff Cooper.
Yes, see,
I'm in no mood for pithy quotes.
expectations, even from the likes of an Alfred Duff Cooper.
Right, Luke, perhaps we better get started. Right, you take that side of the road, I'll take this. When we get to the end, we'll compare notes. Right, remember, the name of the candidate and the party.
The name of the candidate, the name of the party.
Right, and if they're really keen, you give them a leaflet and a poster.
Oh, very well. Well, good afternoon, madam. I'm calling on behalf of Alfred Duff Cooper.
What?
No, I'm not.
Who is he then?
I'm sorry, madam. Alfred Duff Cooper is dead.
Well, what are you doing? Collecting for the wreath?
No, madam. I'm asking for your vote.
How can I vote for somebody who's dead?
Madam, I have here a Reform Party poster. I advise you from the bottom of my heart to stick it up. Good afternoon. No, good morning, madam.
How you getting on, CP?
It can only get better, Henry.
Right, so go on, try the house next door.
I'm not very good at this personal touch business, and I'm hungry.
Finish the street, and then it's lunch.
Oh, look, it's Andrew. Ah, yes. Luke, where are you going? Maniac!
But, gentlemen, I run BBC One, which, if you haven't noticed, is television. Why should I worry about radio?
Ah,
that's your problem.
But television's in a vulnerable position too, Jim. And at the end of the day, we've all got to justify a license fee increase.
So you're suggesting I achieve this by boosting the ratings? And the only way I can do that is with this raunchy, revolutionary Sunday evening satire.
Yeah, Jim.
So, who are you going to get to produce this show? I don't want some idiot.
Of course not, Jim. I'll call him. He's sitting over there.
Hercules!
Who? That weirdo.
I'm mad.
Over here, Hercules.
Blimey.
Faggots!
Jim, this is Hercules from his guild.
Hercules, this is the controller of BBC One.
Faggots! I'm famished.
Intellectually famished, Jim. After years in the bureaucratic wilderness, the creative juices are
dribbling down his shirt front.
I can see that.
Do you say controller of BBC One? It's a hunger. I'm hallucinating.
You're not hallucinating, Hercules. This is Jim Wilkes, controller of BBC One.
Oh, God.
Exactly, mate. Sit down and have a faggot.
Oh, Chief Inspector Jefferson.
That's right.
Pleased to meet you, Gov. I'm Detective Inspector Patterson, tall body.
This is the scene of the crime, isn't it?
Yeah, and you are?
George Crack, BBC Crime Correspondent.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. You left him...
It's okay, he's with me. Is that the corpse?
Yes, Gov.
Not much of him left, is there?
Get his tie fastened to a bus just before it pulled away.
Nasty.
We're having to scrape him into three body bags.
That's careful, Turner. Was there anything on the body?
Oh, yeah, there was this. Don't mean anything.
The recovery is accelerating. Don't miss your bus stop.
The key to these murders is in these notes, Frank. I know it.
The key to these murders is in Talbotting, George. It's called Andrew James.
You've got a suspect.
You could say.
Excuse me.
Can I help you, sir?
Oh, yeah. Could I interest you in a Reform Party leaflet for tomorrow's by-election? It's totally free.
No, you cannot.
This is a murder scene, sir. You'd better move along.
Wait a minute. Are you with the Reform Party?
Yes, he is.
So?
Do you know a bloke called Andrew James?
Do I? He nearly killed me.
What?
Oh, he's driving the Reform Party van around Talbotting at about 90 miles an hour. The bloke's a maniac.
Any idea where he is now?
Over the Reform Party!
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Where?
There!
Over the Reform Party!
You know, Fortescue, senior BBC management have had their eye on you for some time.
More faggots, please.
Some more faggots, please, Martin. Mm.
Oh. Bring this man more faggots. Mm. With extra mushy peas.
I don't like the idea of a personnel officer producing television.
I'm dying.
The time to get on with it.
To enter the challenging world of TV centre.
So let me tell you, Horatio.
Hercules.
I'm delighted you are going to produce a programme for BBC One.
Me? It'll be a flagship program that'll pack them in and keep them spellbound.
You want me to produce a television flagship? It'll sink.
He's overwhelmed.
Completely
overwhelmed.
You can have anything you like. Office, big budget, secretary, two secretaries. You name it. What do you say?
Hercules? Come on, Hercules.
Faggots?
Bring this man some more faggots.
On its way, monsieur.
And I'll have some ice cream.
Will monsieur like Earl Grey ice cream or brown bread ice cream?
Have you got any Neapolitan?
Neapolitan?
Oh, damn it, forget it. I'll have a cornetto. Henry, what do you mean the police are after me?
They nearly ran them over. Look, all I'm saying, Andrew, is if you take the van out again, drive carefully.
Right, yeah.
Go once more around the constituency and then come back to by-election HQ. Right, we've got a long night ahead of us, still a lot to do.
But we're going to win, aren't we?
Well, according to our Cambridge returns, we've squeezed the Labour vote to a pulp, and anybody who wants to get rid of the Tories wants to vote for us.
Brilliant!
Right, so yes, I say we're going to win.
I'll get going. Oh, hello, CP.
Hello.
CP!
Oh, God.
Right, there you are. Now, how's meeting the people going?
It's appalling. I don't like the people, and the people don't like me.
Of course the people like you, CP. You're the symbol of honest, decent British failure. That's why the Reform Party survives, just.
I met a woman in the street just now who asked me for my opinion. And where were you, Henry? You're supposed to be my speechwriter.
Well, what did she ask?
She wanted to know my position on the Green question.
What did you say?
I told her I was very partial to Frog's Leg. I don't think we'll get her vote.
I know you're parted with you, CP, but perhaps meeting the people isn't such a good idea after all. Perhaps you should go and find a nice wine bar or something.
What a wonderful suggestion.
Right, yeah, make sure you're back for the party, though. We're going to have a few drinks and listen to the late news.
This is George Cragg, BBC News, Talbot, at the scene of the latest murder.
Pasty and chips.
Who was that, George?
Just phoned in the report for the 6 o'clock.
Well, you'd better ring them back.
Why?
There's been another murder. Another bank manager's been killed by an exploding cash machine. And that's not all. The local plods have lost Andrew James.
Lost him? But how can you lose a pink and green van for stupid Reform Party stickers?
They went round the Reform Party headquarters, he'd start, but in the van. Let's get going, George. We've got to
stop this maniac before he ends up killing everyone.
We cannot
sit safely.
I did
you mind, sir?
Do you mind? I do mind.
I can appreciate that you're
going on there. Do something like that.
Their headquarters, don't talk to them, right?
Stay calm.
This is a BBC exclusive, and don't you forget it.
Excuse me. Am I right in thinking you're the officer in charge of the bank manager?
Really?
You are.
Over here. Here he is.
Oh,
oh good.
From DCI Jefferson, yes, Scotland Yard.
Well, we are the bank managers of Talbotting.
We wish to protest in the strongest terms about your handling of this case.
Bank managers are being slaughtered all over Talbotting. Our lives are in danger, and you're doing nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
We could all be dead by tomorrow.
No, excuse me, mate. Just talking to this recorder. I'll have some of this on tape. You are a bank manager in Talbotting. How do you rate the police's handling of the matter?
This is outrageous.
Exactly, it's outrageous. CCR Jefferson, what's your response to these bank managers?
That's the last guinea you're getting out of me, George.
Chief Inspector,
switch it off.
Is it not a fact that the local police have lost the murder suspect?
What? You know it's a fact. I just told you so in the pub.
Typical.
Now, gentlemen, please. He's
drunk.
Gentlemen, ladies, I am expecting to make an arrest at any moment. A suspect is being targeted as we speak.
So where is he then?
Oh, no. You haven't got a suspect. You're making it up.
No, I'm not.
So where is he?
Yeah!
Where?
He's driving now, Brad.
He's driving straight at us.
No!
I can't see how we can lose CP.
We're going to win.
Yeah, all right, CP. You're our leader. Show some dignity.
Yeah, boy, I can honestly say I'm the least dignified leader in British politics.
Yeah, right. Oh, blimey, look at the time.
Right, quiet, everyone. Quiet. Thank you. Right, ladies and gentlemen,
Ladies and gentlemen, after your magnificent efforts, may I crave your cooperation one last time and ask you to listen to the Midnight News, which may possibly contain the final opinion poll of this by-election. If you want to just stick the radio on.
BBC News at midnight. A man is helping police with their inquiries into the so-called bank manager murders. He was detained in Talbotting today after the latest spate of killings. Our crime reporter, George Cragg, was personally involved in the arrest.
Talbotting may be seething with by-election fever, but only hours ago I helped the police arrest a young man who was attempting to run over a number of bank managers in a Reform Party van.
What?
The suspect is not being named, but he is thought to be a Reform Party worker.
What?
Ironically involved in their law and order campaign. Observers say this could crucially affect the outcome of today's by-election.
Good. Switch it off. Switch it off.
The man helping police with Eric.
Oh, Henry.
Don't say it, CP.
If the murderer is a Reform Party worker,
then we're not going to win the seat.
Oh. Oh, well.
One victory. That's all I ask.
Never mind, Henry.
One lousy victory. It was in the back. We were home free.
Never mind,
Henry. It was a sure thing. The seat was as good as won.
Oh, come on, Henry.
Come on, everyone. Chins up. Please, don't be downhearted. This is the Reform Party, remember? We've had 100 years to get used to losing, which means we're jolly well good at it.
Our votes disappeared every bit. We've been on the low for a year or so, and now we're face first in the shit.
The arrest could bring to an end a series of murders which has baffled the police and terrified the whole nation.
Thanks, George.
Right.
Brilliant. Good work.
Do you want a full package for the Today programme?
You bet we do. Cheer up, George. You're up to arrest a murderer.
I hope to God you're right.
What?
Well, yes, me, Caroline. The police have got the wrong man.
In the Red was dramatized by Mark Taverner and Peter Bainham from the novel by Mark Taverner. Episode 5 starred Michael Williams, Barry Foster, Peter Woodthorpe, Stephen Moore, Stephen Fry, John Bird, Ian McNeice, Victoria Carling, Benjamin Whitrow, Julian Ryan Tutt, Susie Brand, Eva Stewart, Peter Serafinowicz, Nicholas LeFrevaux, and Alice Arnold. And also featured Peter Yap, Richard Turner, and Tim Hurst. The music was composed by Paul Mottram. In the Red is script edited by Scott Cherry and produced by Paul Spessinger.